It is easy for a woman to give birth. Now, I realize that the word easy there is relative, okay? But when you see my next statement, you'll understand what I'm talking about. They're sitting there going, yeah, that preacher's a man. He don't know what he's talking about, okay? But how about this next statement? It's not easy to be a mother. You see, it's very easy to give birth to a child, but then to be a mother to that child is something totally different, isn't it? You see, it is a tough position. Probably one of the most difficult works, if done well, on the entirety of the earth. A woman has many things as a mother that are required of her. Notice also, they do when others don't. Oftentimes they put in long hours, in fact so long that they are never off. It is 24/7 throughout the entirety of their lives, and they even labor when no one seems to care, don't they? We all know, or at least I hope we know, that today is Mother's Day. This particular day was instituted on May 8th, 1914. Now, if you figure just a little, today is the 105th celebration of Mother's Day. And I love on Mother's Day to talk about mothers. And that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to take that word mother, and each one of those letters is going to start the title for a section. Now really what we're going to be doing is answering a question. And the question very simply is this: what do mothers do? Now, how in the world am I going to answer that question in 6 points? That's going to be tough, isn't it? But let's start. Number one, mothers make a difference, don't they? There's some quotes that I found that are pretty interesting about mothers and mothers making a difference. And I love this first one. It is by Rudyard Kipling. Look what he says. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. It's pretty good, isn't it? Shows me how much I'm needed. Not that I'm clergy, but y'all know what the word means. We're all very familiar with Abraham Lincoln's statement. Notice what he says. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. There was a mother by the name of Ethel Waters, and she says this: you are the person of the greatest importance when you are a mother of a family. You see, mothers make a difference in the lives of individuals, especially their children. There was a mother that I want to talk about just for a moment who made a difference, and it was Timothy's mother, didn't she? I find it interesting that Timothy's mother was a Jew, and she was married to a Gentile. We do not know exactly what that father believed. We don't know if he practiced a religion. We don't know if he were pagan or atheist. We just don't know exactly about this man. But it was a marriage wherein one was of one religion and another was of another religion. And oftentimes women who enter into those relationships find it very difficult, especially to practice their religion, but not Timothy's mom. Eventually, Timothy's mother converted to Christianity. We know that because Paul makes mention of her faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. A faith which Paul says she had passed on to her son, Timothy. You see, this mother was a diligent mother. And she taught her son the Scripture, the Bible says. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, he says this: and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Notice that little word child, and that from a child. In the Greek language, that little word child there means from an infant. When Timothy was a very, very little boy, maybe even a baby, maybe from the very time she was carrying him around from room to room and place to place, Timothy's mother Eunice was instilling into him a knowledge of the Scripture. Did it make a difference? Absolutely. You see, this young man became a Christian. My friends, if that's the only thing that a mother accomplishes with regard to her children, she has done a wonderful work, hasn't she? To train these children in the ways of God, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and those children get old enough and they become Christians. What a wonderful work. She has made a difference in the world by that one act. But Timothy also became a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Paul makes mention of Timothy in Philippians 2:22, and he says, "As a father, a son, he has served me in the gospel." Paul was writing to the Philippians and he says, "I'm going to send a man to you, and the man I'm going to send is Timothy, because there is no man like him who will naturally care for your state." Paul left Timothy in the city of Ephesus and he charged him with two huge responsibilities. One of them was to set the church in order, to make sure that infant church was developed and that it was established the way God wanted it to be established, that it was properly ordered with elders and deacons. Timothy was left there, a young man, in order to carry out that work, but he also charged him in 2 Timothy 1 verse 3, "That thou teach some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Timothy was a preacher, but a wonderful preacher. A servant preacher. A preacher who cared for others. A preacher who had courage to stand. A preacher who was willing to do the work that an older preacher commanded him to carry out. Timothy, we are told, lived to be about the age of 80 years old. Tradition holds that he died in 97 AD as a martyr in the city of Ephesus. Timothy went out into the city and he saw these pagans carrying out a worship service to their gods. And he went out and he was going to try to get them to cease their worship of that God in order to worship the true and living God. They took him, dragged him through the streets of Ephesus, and ultimately stoned him to death. That is the traditional death of Timothy. My friends, this mother, Eunice, made a difference in our world because she trained this son to become a Christian and a preacher of the gospel. Notice point number two. Mothers, what do? They operate in silence, don't they? Watch this. Being a mom is not a high-profile position. I doubt if any mother in here will ever be featured on the big screen because of her role as a mother. I doubt if we will ever see any of your names make headline news because you are a wonderful mother. I bet none of the major networks will call you and say, "Hey, you're such a wonderful mother. We want to invite you on our program and talk to you." You see, motherhood is not a high-profile position, is it? In fact, most of a mother's work is done in silence, isn't it? You see, what I mean by that is this. It's done behind closed doors. It's done at a dinner table. It's done in a bathroom. It's done in a hallway. It's done in a bedroom. It's done in the kitchen. You see, it's done behind closed doors, and only she and the children ever hear what's being spoken. It is not something that is done in public. It is a very silent, private matter. It's done on the go, isn't it? Moms do a lot of teaching of their children in their cars. Stop that! Nobody's ever heard that from a mom. You see, she's teaching that child a little something. It's also done on ballpark benches. Mothers teach their children in nursery rooms. Mothers teach their children at doctor's offices, and did I say moms teach their children in cars? You see, today moms are on the go a lot, are they not? I know my daughter, she is constantly, even just with a 2-year-old and a 4-year, she is constantly on the road going, but all the time you're going, you're talking and you're teaching and you're instilling little seeds of truth in the hearts of those little children. Mothers operate in silence. Now, I realize there are a few well-known mothers, aren't there? I just listed a few. Sarah, she's pretty well-known, the wife of Abraham. We've been talking about her some in our Wednesday night Bible study. Hannah, who did not have a child and prayed to God that she would have a son, and she gave birth to a prophet and priest by the name of Samuel. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's a very prominent figure, is she not? And also Eunice that we just talked about, the mother of Timothy. But folks, most mothers aren't known at all, even Bible mothers. Who's the mother of Abraham? She's never listed in the biblical text. Who's the mother of Moses? Now, there are some in here who would raise their hand and say, I know, because you see, she is in the biblical text, but only for a very brief period of time. Who was the mother of Joshua? Remember that faithful, godly servant? A leader of the Lord's armies, and also a man who took over and led the children of Israel into the promised land? Who was his mom? Never, ever mentioned in the pages of God's Word. What about these? Who was Nehemiah's mom? Not known. Who was the Apostle Peter's mother? Not known. Who is Saul of Tarsus's mom? Not known. Wouldn't you love to know about Saul's mom? Even though he was a radical at one time against the church, just think of his steadfastness and his faithfulness to Judaism. Who instilled that in that young man? I'd love to know a little bit about Saul's mom, but never mentioned in the biblical text. You see, moms oftentimes operate in silence, don't they? And today, mothers are still operating in silence, aren't you? Moms don't go around talking about their day to just everybody and every little thing that goes on with every little child in their care. Oh yeah, occasionally something happens and they want to talk about it, but most of the time, very silent. Here's what I find interesting. Mothers appreciate the silence. Moms, aren't you glad that you're not on a reality show every day? Wouldn't that be a mess? That'd be a toughie, wouldn't it? Now, it might bring in some ratings in certain homes, in this audience, even my home. But guess what? Aren't you glad that it's just done in silence? And here's another thing. Here's what I find. Women, moms, take advantage of the silence, don't they? You are growing that child. You are developing that child in silence. Nobody has a clue what's going on. But all of a sudden, that child enters into the world. And guess what? Because of a mom, that child is what he is. And many people are glad. Mothers appreciate the silence. Point number 3. What do mothers do? Mothers trust in God. You see, mothers know that their position comes from God. The Bible tells us that God created the first woman, and her name was Eve because she was the, I find it interesting, mother of all living. He named her based upon her function as a mother, the mother of all. Not only did God create the first woman, but it is God who has also given all the legislation, all the duties, all the obligations that mothers are supposed to be doing in their lives in the pages of His divine will. You see, they know that. They know that God is the one who originated the position, legislates the position, and because of that, they trust in God. A woman who showed her trust in God vividly was a mother by the name of Jochebed. Now remember a while ago I said there are some low profile moms in Scripture. Some moms we don't even know the name of. And I said, who's the name of Moses' mother? This is she, Jochebed. The Bible says this, and there went out a man of the family of Levi and took him a wife of the daughters of Levi. And she conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, those of us who know Bible history, those of us who know the book of Exodus, we know what's going on, don't we? The children of Israel are in Egypt. They have grown into a mighty nation, and Pharaoh has become fearful of them, rising up in rebellion against him. And in order to stay that, he has all the male sons slain. Jochebed has a son right in the middle of that decree. And what does she do? She hides him for 3 months. Can you imagine trying to hide a baby, an infant, for 3 months? Babies get hungry. And what do? Cry. Babies mess up their diapers. And what do? They cry. Babies can't sleep very well at night. What do? They cry. Babies get sick. What do? They cry. And here is a mother, even under rigorous circumstances, knows if this child is found out, they'll slay that child, and yet she does all she can do to hide him. But the next verse is interesting. And when she could hide him no more, sad, isn't it? He was getting too big, too loud, when she can hide him no more. What did she do? She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein and put it in the flags by the river's brink. Trust in God, isn't it? Have you ever seen a little three-month-old child? Oh, that child's not very big. You take that little child, you put that child in an ark of bulrushes, give him to your daughter, and that daughter goes down to the river's edge. We're talking about the Nile River. And in the water, right by the river's brink, she places that little child. What's going to happen to that child? How is that child going to be cared for? I sincerely believe that in the heart of Jochebed, she put her full, complete, overwhelming confidence in what God would do. And did God provide? Baby found. Not just by anybody. Baby's found by Pharaoh's daughter. Now that's a pretty comfort living, is it not? She's asked, do you want me to go get someone from the Hebrews in order to provide for this child? Oh yes, do that for me. Who selected Jochebed? The child's own mother gets to nurse and train that little boy through all those years of infancy. He's raised in the courts of the Egyptian. He's trained in the wisdom of the Egyptians. He lives a very plush, soft, elegant life and acquires great riches, does he not? And when he grows up, he becomes what? Second in the kingdom of Egypt. Eventually, he leads the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And right to the very brink of the Jordan River, through 40 years of wilderness journey. Folks, here's a woman who trusted God, didn't she? Now, most women today aren't going to have to grab their child and put it in an ark of bulrushes and put it out in the Nile River to show their trust in God. But today, women show their trust in God when they acknowledge and when they live out this particular statement: God's way is right. That's faith, folks. God's way, regardless, is always right. You see, a woman like that, she learns the ways of God, doesn't she? But not only does she learn those ways, now she takes those ways and she instills them into the heart of her children. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 8, children are commanded with these words, "Forsake not the," watch this, "law of thy mother." Why would Solomon write that? Because he knows this woman has trained herself in the law of God. And when she issues her decrees, when she issues her commands, when she tells her children, "This is what I want you to do and not do," it is based upon the word of the living God. It was Moses standing before the children of Israel who told the parents of his day, "Teach these things diligently unto thy children." And a faithful woman will do that, won't she? We have the good example of a Jewish woman by the name of Eunice, Timothy's mom, who did exactly that. We just talked about her. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. It wasn't his father who gave him those Scripture. He was a pagan. It was his mother who did the training. You see, moms trust in God. They instill God's word in the hearts of those kids. Why? Because God's way is always, always right. Point number four. What does a mother do? A mother hates the evil one. Folks, moms know that a being by the name of Satan is real and he lurks upon the earth. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Good moms also know that this devil is a very subtle individual, a very crafty, wily individual. Therefore, she is not ignorant of his devices. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. She educates herself in the ways of God and she knows the ways of Satan, doesn't she? Once she has educated herself, she also protects herself from the ways of Satan. What good is she if she yields to the enticements of the evil one? What good is she to her children if she is one in sin and in iniquity? So she protects herself. Then she warns her children, doesn't she? Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't pick that particular person for a friend. Why is she saying all these things, folks? It's because she wants desperately to protect her children from the evil one. She gives them the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. There's a mother in Judges 14 who attempted to warn her son about an evil. The Bible says this, "Then his father," watch this, "and his mother said unto him." This mother is the mother of a judge by the name of Samson. We know a little bit about Samson, don't we? Samson was a rough kid to train. Don't you know it? Long hair, dedicated to the Nazarite vow, strong as an ox. But he had a lot of weaknesses, didn't he? And one of his weaknesses was foreign women. He now had his eyes locked upon a Philistine woman to be his wife. Then his father, and I love this, and his mother said unto him, "Are there never women among all thy brethren or of all our people that thou goest to have a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" Hear what they're saying? Why do you want that woman? Why can't you find a wife in Israel? Why can't you find a wife of our own lineage, of our own family? Why do you have to go after these uncircumcised Philistines? They're doing all they can do to warn this man about this evil woman. You see, they know she wouldn't support his religion. They knew that she would encourage him in sinful ways. They knew that she would negatively influence any children that came into that relationship. And oftentimes, relationships like that do not last. Folks, women hate the evil one. There's been many a mother who has seen what the evil one can do to a child. And therefore, they set their hearts in the same way that the psalmist set his heart in Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. A woman who is a good mother would never encourage her children to anything that is evil and sinful and would destroy their soul. She would stand against Satan with all of her being. Notice the next point. What do mothers do? They endure the difficult. Here's a definition I found of a mother. One person who does the work of 20, period. Then he goes on to say, for free. Now, who would ever do that? Now, underneath that, there were some synonyms for the word mother. Are you ready for this? How about this? See also masochist. Loony and saint. Now that's supposed to be kind of funny. Y'all are supposed to laugh a little bit. Boy, y'all are really serious this morning. Okay? But the whole point is what? Mothers are doing difficult work. The work of 20 people for free. She subjects herself to all kinds of trials and tribulations and hardships and difficulties. Why? Because she's either a loony tune or she's a what? A masochist? No. She's a mother, isn't she? I just made a list of a few things moms do. They feed children. They change diapers. Now, dads, I realize we do a little bit of this, but guess what? We don't do much, do we? Not like a mom. She cares for the sick. She puts in long hours. She sacrifices her desires. I know, Kathleen, she longed to be a nurse for a long, long time. Tried early on when our children were little and just could not pull it off until our children were finally up in college. You see, she put all that off in order to sacrifice for the kids. Mothers endure criticism. You're a bad mom. I hate you. No kids ever said that to any mother, have they? She endures the world's attacks. Isn't it sad that today in our society, mothers are not appreciated? If you ever refer to yourself as a stay-at-home mom, people go, oh, so you don't work? Are you kidding? How about this? She has to endure rebellious teens. She does all of the mundane tasks. And it's not just once. You dust a bunch, don't you? You do laundry a bunch. Fix hundreds and hundreds of meals. Wash loads and loads and loads and loads of laundry. Fold the clothes. Put them up. Take kids here. Take kids there. Do this. Do that. Every day that you have children in the house. And they're just old mundane, regular tasks, aren't they? Little assistants. Some mothers not only do the work of a mother, they also now work outside the home. And yet somehow in that home, they're carrying out their responsibilities. And guess what? They just keep on keeping on. Folks, if you're a mom, it doesn't matter if you're sick. You got to keep on doing, don't you? If you're a mom, you got to get up and take care of that little baby. You got to get those little toddlers out of bed. You got to get those kids off to school, regardless of how you feel. Doesn't matter whether you're nauseous. Doesn't matter whether you have a headache. Doesn't matter whether you've got the flu. Up you are, working and laboring. You see, somehow moms just keep on keeping on, don't they? You see, they endure the difficult. And I sincerely believe that that's why the writer of the book of Proverbs refers to the woman in Proverbs 31 as a virtuous woman. A woman of great virtue. The little word virtue means a woman of great self-discipline. You see, she's able to endure the hardness. I find it interesting that she is priceless, according to the writer. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far, far above rubies, he says. Have you ever gone and priced a ruby? I used to think that diamonds were expensive, and they are. Go price a ruby. Go price a good ruby. $34,000, $35,000, $40,000 for a good ruby. It's amazing. And here he says what? Her price is far above rubies, plural. See, she's priceless. Notice also, she's a rare breed. He begins with a question, does he not? Who can find a virtuous woman? She is a rare breed. You want to know where they are, many of them? In the churches of Christ, because I've seen them. You know what? They're all located in one place pretty much. Good ladies, good women who've reared their children faithfully and diligently for the Almighty God. Who can find a virtuous woman? I can. I can point you to several of them. Finally, what does a mother do? She rejoices. Watch the words, in the end. Folks, there is an end to a mother's labor that causes her to rejoice, isn't there? How about some of these things? Her children know and obey the Almighty God. Her children are members of a local congregation, and they're faithful and they're steadfast and they're laboring and serving in that congregation. I have a son who's an elder or a deacon in the church right now. It's not because of me. Because of a good mama who worked him over pretty good. You see, isn't that wonderful? That it causes you to rejoice, doesn't it? My daughter is a teacher in one of the little Bible classes where she attends church. She'll go somewhere on Saturday, got to get back to church on Sunday because I got to teach class. Folks, that's the kind of children that you hope you raise, isn't it? Your children produce a wonderful family of their own. They labor to provide for themselves. They're independent, not dependent upon others. They're good citizens in our nation. They're children who deeply care for others and they shun sinful things. They become leaders both in and out of the church. And guess what you know? You know that when I become old, when I become feeble, when I can't do for myself, that those children that I trained will provide for me. You see, that's wonderful, isn't it? There's a verse that comes to mind when I think of moms raising children, especially after those children are grown and older and doing so well. And it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that true? Child can be a garbage man. Doesn't matter. It's not a bad occupation. As long as that child walks in truth, the mother rejoices. I bring this up right here. Jesus and Mary. Jesus is hanging upon the cross of Calvary and he looks down from the cross and he sees two people. Number one, his mother. And number two, a disciple who the Bible describes as the disciple whom Jesus loves. They're close enough that even in his passion, he is able to communicate with them. And he says, woman, behold thy son. And son, behold thy mother. Jesus knows that his spirit is about to leave the body and he is about to die. And what does he do? He shows care for his mother, doesn't he? Apparently the disciple that he is closest to, John, he entrusts his mother's care to him. Jesus dies. Can you imagine Mary that night, the following day, thinking about what Jesus has done for her? He's the one struggling. He's the one suffering. He's the one in anguish. And yet, in the midst of all of that, one of those seven sayings involves his care for his precious mother, Mary. You think that thought rejoiced the heart of that lady? I bet it did for the rest of her life. Even though he was raised from the dead, he finally ascended to the right hand of God. She was not left alone. She was not left to provide for herself. She was left in the care of a loving apostle to take care of her. You see, a woman rejoices in the end, doesn't she? We've looked at the question, what do mothers do? And we found they make a difference. Number two, they operate in silence. They trust in God. They hate the evil one. They endure the difficult. And lastly, they rejoice in the end. Now, if you have a mother like that, you're grateful, are you not? If you had a mother like that, you are just tickled to death. And there are responses that you and I give to those kind of mothers. How about this? They mean the world to us, don't they? Number two, they occasion our gratitude. You see, there comes a point in our life when we go to our mom and we say, Mom, you know, I'm really grateful for everything that you've done for me. And on a regular basis, we're giving thanks to God for the mom that we had. Number three, a mother like that tenders our love. Number four, we honor her in our hearts and she earns our praise, doesn't she? And lastly, a mother like that receives the blessings of her children. Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, nearing the end of that particular passage, makes a very wonderful statement in Proverbs 31, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Moms, if you're trying to do what God wants you to do, if you're that kind of a mother, today we rise up and we praise you. We need good Christian mothers in our world today, don't we? Aren't you grateful that God has given us His Word to show us what we need to be and what we need to do and how we need to function in this world? I'm grateful for that. But I'm really grateful that He tells me what I need to do to become a Christian. And the steps are simple. Hear the Word of God, Acts 2:22. Believe in the Christ as the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of my sins, Acts 17, verse 30. Confess His precious name, Matthew 10, 32. And be washed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22, 16. Do you need to do that this morning? We want you to. Maybe your mother has taught you that and you haven't done it. And you need to do that. Folks, don't leave today in a lost condition. Maybe today you're in sin. You're not as faithful as you need to be, and you need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you of that. We want you to do that. Again, don't leave here questioning your salvation in Christ Jesus. Do you need to respond to the invitation?